Now, my next guest is a children's author. Bedfordshire's Carrie King created Joanie Pipp, a character who embarks on a time travel adventure. The life in the wood with Joanie Pipp starts in wartime Britain and is illustrated with Carrie's own drawings. Carrie's now working on an adventure for one of the three counties' most notable destinations, and one which we've featured a number of times here on the station, Bletchley Park. Carrie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nick.
First of all, tell me about Joanie Pipp.
Do you mean the book or the character?
The character.
Well, she's actually a real person. Did you know this?
Tell me.
She's my great niece. And when my first granddaughter was born, I noticed she looked a little bit jealous. So I said, Tanti, she calls me Tanti because I'm a great aunt. Tanti's going to write you a book so that you will always know, no matter how many grandchildren I have, I will always love you.
What a gift. Did she understand it?
Well, I think so. Well, she, yeah, I mean, she's much more grown up now. She's a young lady now. So, yeah, she did understand it, I think.
Now, let's tie together the time travel jigsaw here, because you base it on her, and this was how long ago?
Oh, well, it must be 12 years ago.
Okay, so here we are 12 years later. What happened in between times?
In 2000, my husband was working in Stevenage, and he was killed in a scaffolding accident. So I just stopped everything, really. I couldn't write, couldn't put pen to paper, I couldn't do any illustrations. I used to go to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning, wake up at four, turn on the television and just watch hours and hours of mindless television. I just couldn't write.
It basically completely sapped your creative ability.
Oh, totally. Shattered as my children. Yeah. Yeah. He was Luton-born. So, he used to be in a 60s band called Johnny Starr and the Midnights, if any of you oldie people have heard of him.
He would have played locally, I imagine.
Oh, he did, yeah, all over the place.
Johnny Starr and the Midnights.
Yeah, then they dropped it to the Midnights, so if anybody's heard of them.
There's your challenge. If you ever saw Johnny Starr and the Midnights, or the Midnights themselves, playing here in and around Luton and Dunstable, give me a call now. Tell me what they were like. 08459 455 555. It's interesting that we're writing, Carrie, because it can go both ways with a treasure like that. It can completely stop you in your tracks, which it did with you, but many people find solace and therapy in writing as well.
That did happen eventually, Nick. I think because he was killed and he just disappeared from our lives, that was so difficult to cope with. But I did have lots of help, support from my family, from friends, from my therapist, from my doctor, and they kind of said, come on, Carrie, get on with getting on. So 6-7 years later, I did.
You say that all these people helped you. Where did the breakthrough come? How did you bridge the gap between your grief for your husband and then finally being able to put pen to paper? Or are we talking fingers to keyboard? How do
you
write?
What was the bridge? Have you ever heard of Paul Carrack? You must have done.
Absolutely.
Well, I was watching one of
He's local. I think he lives in Ringlesworth, doesn't he?
I think he does, yeah, because I've had a letter from him, so he does. I was watching one of these mindless things I told you I was, and then it was a Sean Bean film about a footballer that messed up his life. And then as the credits were going down, this song came on, Eyes of Blue by Paul Carrack. You know it?
Did we play it here?
And I just felt like Paul was talking to me. In fact, I put his words in the beginning of my book, and he says, can I read it?
Of course.
Right. He says, take a hold of your dream and realise it. You know there's nothing left to stand in your way except yourself. And I know, though your heart's full of pain, the hope still remains behind those eyes. I put of green because I've got green eyes, but it says blue. And it was almost like he was talking to me, and I quickly saw who it was, and it said Paul Carrack. So I even got washed and put some makeup on, went to Milton Keynes HMV and asked if they knew it, and they actually played it, and I was crying and sobbing, and this guy comes up to me and he says, what's going on? And I said, this man has got me to get on with getting on. They sold loads of that CD that day, because they then played
the
it publicly.
Film, yeah.
And then I met him at the stables. I wrote him a letter and met him, and he wrote me back the most beautiful letter, and he said it makes everything worthwhile when something I've written, Paul said, has moved somebody to get on with their life.
I think that any artist, in the broadest sense, anyone who writes or paints, or in my case, writes and broadcasts, will say that it's not about the mass, it's about the one person. Mm. If you make a difference, if you connect with one person, then it makes it all worthwhile. And for him, that was the moment. That was the. It wasn't the tens of thousands of people that buy his music or that come and see him in concert. That was the moment that he connected with someone. I'd imagine it was very precious to him.
Well, he said so, and I treasure his letter to me, and I've met him a couple of times since.
And isn't that the wonder of music as well? That the really great musicians and the really great songwriters are those who write songs that you're absolutely convinced were written for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what Bruce Springsteen does for me. So that song kind of, if I say shook you up, I mean it in a positive sense. And did you literally then turn to your keyboard after that?
Absolutely, yeah. It was just brilliant. I had a brilliant therapist and she was really encouraging. And I told her about this song and she said, get on and do it, girl. What are you waiting for?
We will find out what you got on and did after the news headlines. I'm talking to Carrie King from Luton originally. And judging by the back of your book, spending a lot of time in lots of very nice places. Read me the places on the back of your book there.
Where I write.
Yeah. Paris.
Paris, Le Havre in France. I read it. I've written in New York, Vancouver, Memphis. Should I go on?
Yeah, I think you're making me way too jealous. So you're listening to BBC Three Counties Radio. Carrie King is with me. She is a children's author from Bedfordshire. She told us the story of how she wrote Joni Pip the book based on, was it your great niece? Have I got
yes.
that right? Based
yes.
on her great niece. And then tragically, you lost your husband in a scaffolding accident in Stevenage. And that completely dried up every single creative juice that you had. And then you had a breakthrough. Heard a song by a local Paul Carrick, and it set you writing again. And the result of which was this very, very thick tome called The Life in the Wood with Joni Pip. Tell me all about it.
What do you mean, the plot?
The book, yeah.
It's based in 1942. It's just after the bombing of Bath. And Joni Pip comes from, not like Harry Potter, who was a disadvantaged person. She's very privileged. She comes from a middle-class family, American father, English mother. And when they have to move to Nottinghamshire, she's really grumpy. She just cannot see that this is done for her safety in the war.
It's interesting you mentioned Harry Potter, because reading it, there are certain fairly Harry Potter-esque parts to it. Is that a fair comment?
I've never read Harry Potter, so I wouldn't know. Which particularly were you thinking?
It's just the level of mystery and some of the terms like question and
Is that a term before? I'd never.
It hasn't been used before, but it's the use of new words.
Oh right,
that
I love to make new words. In fact,
it's slightly Harry Potter-esque.
Yeah. When I met a contingent of Google from Silicon Valley, they said they're going to put that on their search engine. It's the quest and a mission joined together, a Carrie King word. Yeah, I love writing, making up new words.
It's a very meaty tome, I have to be honest. It's the best part of 500 pages long.
Mm.
Is that not quite long for a book aimed at, what, 12 to 14-year-olds?
Well, I think Harry Potter's pretty long. I think it's... Some of them are longer, aren't they? But I've had it read by 11-year-olds that have written and said, best book I've ever read. When's the next one?
I'm always slightly scared by large tomes. I think that might go back to my childhood of being faced with large books. And here you are. This book was out about 18 months ago. And you're writing the follow-up based around Bletchley Park. How did that come about?
I never go in pubs, but I went into a pub. I was my sister-in-law, Catherine. She just suggested I went to a pub in Felmersham, where I write 8 months of the year by the river. And I met Simon Greenish, who was the managing director then of Bletchley Park. And he read Joni Pip. And for 3 years, he's been going on, can't you do a Joni Pip adventure?
In
the park. So that's what I'm
doing. It certainly
doing.
Fits.
Yeah, it does. And in fact, he sent me an email. I sent him the first 5 chapters and he said, this is going to be superb. So that remains to be seen, of course, Nick.
When do you have to finish it by?
Easter.
And how far down the line are you?
8 chapters.
Out of?
I'll only do about 20. I won't do it as big as this. This is 42.
It is indeed. Yeah. What is the big plan for Joni Pip? Do you want it to be internationally huge?
I never even think about it, really. You know, in America, they call me the British Mark Twain, which I think is pretty pretty, what's the word?
It's quite a high compliment by any reasonable barometer. But are you saying that you write for the pleasure, you don't write for the book or the if I use the word brand?
I wrote for Joni, to be honest. Joni, you know, so now it's just interesting, people's reaction to it. And I think my biggest shock was Clive Farahar of the Antiques Roadshow. He just said he just loved the book and he just loved the illustrations in the picture book. And he said, don't sell any. They'll be really worth a lot as a collection.
Because you draw your own pictures as well.
Only in this book.
In the first book. Are you as much an artist as a writer, do you think?
What do you think? I don't know. I mean, when I was at a book signing in Waterstones in Hastings, I'd sold out, and I went back again 2 weeks later, and this girl, beautiful woman, she spent about an hour looking at the pictures, and she said to me, who did these illustrations? And she said, could I buy an original? And she worked for the Tate Gallery. Pretty cool, isn't it?
Very cool indeed. It's certainly a story of overcoming personal tragedy to then carry on your path. It sounds to me that you write because it helps you. You write because you love writing. It's central to what you do. And it is your day job, isn't it? You write day in, day out. And in some very, very glamorous places, as we discussed before the news headlines. So you're finishing the book about Bletchley Park. It's the second of three books. Do you know what the third
book's going to be? Yeah, I'm 150 pages into the third book.
What's the third book going to be about?
It's called Life by the Sea, and it's actually based in Barmouth, in Mid Wales, is it? Or West of Mid, yeah. But it's very similar in the fact that it's time travel, putting things from the past that are wrong and making them right. I loved Back to the Future, but I didn't like the fact they could never change the past, so I've gone back and changed it.
Is there a wistful part of you that wishes you could change your recent past when you write these books?
Of course there is, yeah. And anybody that knows me, when they read Joni Pipp, they'll see lots of things there, yeah. Especially losing my husband.
How does that manifest itself in the book?
I'm not telling you. It's a big secret.
It's deep and personal. Go on, tell me one bit.
Well, it's just that something awful happens to Joni Pipp, so people have to go back and stop it from averting it, you know, averting it, stopping from happening. I got great pleasure from that. Very cathartic, really was.
And of course, the difference between real life and being an author is when you're an author, you can change the course of time.
Absolutely.
You have the power of the pen.
It's wonderful. You can do anything. That's what I say to all the students when I go to schools. You can do just anything you like if you're a writer.
Is it a sense of power in the nice way?
I've never thought of it, Nick Coffer. Power? I
creative
just like the
power.
Fact. What I do like is it's my book and I can write that which I want. That's probably the only power I enjoy.
It is called, well, the book one is called The Life in the Woods, The Life in the Wood, I beg your pardon, with Joni Pipp. That's Joni hyphen Pipp, written by Carrie King, who is very much a local author. More information, am I right in saying, on the website?
Yeah.
www.joni-pipp.com. Knowing how much we enjoy working with Bletchley Park, I'm sure we'll talk to you again when the Bletchley Park sequel is out. When is it due to be published?
This summer, yeah.
We will look forward to it. It's a wonderful sight, and I think Joni will feel very, very at ease there. Carrie, thank you very much indeed for your time and for sharing your story, and good luck with your future projects.
Thank you, Nick.
You're listening to BBC Three Counties Radio. This is Mamas and the Papas. Rather oddly, because it's Tuesday, this is Monday.